Welcome to Brick by Brick, where we begin to build the new you. Here's a simple truth. You're not perfect, and that's okay because you are actually awesome or on your way to being awesome. And with this podcast, we will begin to tackle the rough topics of life. We will journey to a place in which you used to be in order to get to the place in which you choose to be. You see, you were born to be amazing, and together you and I will help and make sure that you get there. Don't let anybody stop you, and never let anybody treat you any less than what you're actually worth. In order for you to get to this level, in order for you to get to this point, the first thing you must do is start seeing you through different eyes. And remember, keep smiling. It looks good on your face.
Welcome, guys, to this week's Brick by Brick. I'm here with Rep Tony. How are you today?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. This week, we'll be discussing how to be a team player. So whether you are a leader in the corporate world, or you're an employee of the corporate world, or you're inside of a church or some sort of organization, this is definitely something that everybody can learn from, I think.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, teams are, if you're going to be anything, you need to either be a team builder or a team player. You know, real leaders know how to build teams, and real leaders come from team support. So, I mean, building teams or being a part of a team is the greatest way to accomplish anything. So, yeah, I totally agree. I like this subject. Good one. What we got?
All right. So, you're a leader, you're a businessman, you're a pastor, you're a husband, you're a dad, you're a mentor, you're an author, you're all these things.
Oh, you make me sound busy.
Well, you are busy. How important is it for you or for someone like you to have a team behind them?
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, I have to back up to even answer that setup question. Along with that very difficult, that was definitely a setup question. You know, some of the team's going to be listening to this, right? So if I don't answer right, they're going to quit and cuss me out. Well, they won't do that. But you get what I'm saying. So So here's the deal. Let me make this bold statement. In fact, let me quantify the statement first before I answer your question. I'm going to remember what your question was. Okay. So let me build up this quantification of this bold statement I'm going to make.
Okay.
Then I answer your question. Before I get to it, though, there's the build up. You hear it coming?
Yeah.
Okay. So before I get to it, we need to understand that some questions are difficult to answer, right? Right? Okay. So, but before I get to that, we also need to understand that sometimes we're difficult people to deal with, right? Right? There's more of a buildup. So here it is. Here's my bold statement. Here it comes. Here I'll backtrack. You might want to write this down or something if you're a leader. The problem with teams from a leader perspective is that leaders think they're leading a team. But the truth is, when you ask the team if they're part of a team, they're going to say, I don't feel like I'm part of a team at all. Right? I mean, this is exactly what happens. Right? So what actually happens is, the leader thinks he's making people feel like a team player, while the team feel like they're a bunch of individuals that are not part of the team at all. And that is why I had to back up to answer your question. Right? Come on. You seem like you suffered from this before. Go ahead. You're laughing.
We'll get to that.
She said we'll get to that. Okay.
See? No, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Okay. See, guys, this is one of my top leaders, and she says I've done it to her. You see? There it is. Right? Yeah. Okay. So the truth of the matter is that in order for you, how important it is for a team, this is your original question, how important it is for a team, for a leader to have such a team behind them, well, it's unequivocally important. It's the most important thing they can actually have, because here's the deal. The leader can only be as awesome as he or she has the talent to be, right? Well, that kind of rhymes, right? The leader can only be as awesome as he or she has the talent to be. I kind of like that. I have a totally accident, but it came out good, right? So the deal is, they can't do everything awesome. Maybe they're a great executioner, but a terrible relationship builder, right? So you're going to be able to need to have someone on the team who builds relationships while their leader is doing the execution, right? You may have a leader that is great behind the scenes. And you could be the top CEO person who draws intricate strategic details and market strategies and things out. But they can't speak in public for anything, right? So then you have to, they have someone who's great at the speaking, right? So here's the deal. If you're going to be, it's important to have a great team behind you for two reasons, I believe. They pick you up where you're weak. That's probably the most important reason. And if you have a great team, you just duplicated yourself times the number of team members. So if you have a core team of six people, then you have now made seven of whatever your name is, right? So if your name is Bob, then Bob knows what he knows how to do. And Bob teaches all six of his members how to do that. Plus, they all have what they know how to do. A couple of things has happened. Every one of Bob's team members, since Bob taught them what they know, what he knows, and they already knew what they know, now they just became twice as smart as Bob. Now, let's pause right there and just say, you probably can't have an ego if you're going to be thinking of Pete, right? Right? You want your team twice as smart as you. Teach them what you know. And they know what they know. They now become twice as smart as you. But here's the great part. Bob just taught six different people how to be Bob, and they know how to be themselves. So now you got six Bobs plus Bob himself. Now you've got Bob being able to go and do seven things at one time, while all of them are just doing one thing at one time. Now, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right. So if you have one person that can speak five languages and Bob can only speak one, well, guess what? Bob now speaks five languages. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. So there it is. It's important to have a team behind you if you're going to be a leader. Bad problem is, the terrible part is, every leader isn't a leader. And I'm sure you're going to have something to say about that one. Go ahead.
Let's go there first.
Let's go. You want
to? No.
Okay. Well, you're running the show.
No, I'm not doing that either. every leader is not a leader. Explain that for me.
Okay, this is going to be terrible.
Brace yourself, people.
Okay, so I'm gonna blame this on Andy Stanley on this one. Okay, so don't get mad at me. Get mad at Andy Stanley. You know, Charles Stanley's son. He just wrote. In fact, let us plug Andy Stanley in for a little bit. He wrote a great book called Deep and Wide. He's visioneering. Wrote that book, Communication for a Change. I mean, I've read all his books. He also has a leadership podcast with what's the guy's name? Come on. Oh, you don't know the guy's name. No. So go ahead and Google it so we can figure it out right now so we can give him Lane. That's his name. Lane. That's I got it. Lane. Okay, so Lane and Andy do a leadership podcast similar to this one. Heck, we probably even got the idea from Lane and Stanley to do this one. Who knows? Right? Could have been our subconscious. Let me just plug Andy Stanley, great guy. Now blame what I'm about to say all on him. Okay? All right. Don't blame it on Tony. Blame it on Andy. But it's real. Here's the deal. Some leaders are simply managers. And if you put a manager in a leadership position, they will simply manage, right? Andy says they'll default into management. So if you give them a task or you give them an assignment or a role or whatever it is that leadership is, position, they're either going to manage it and make few improvements, manage it, make no improvements, or manage it directly into the ground. We've all seen one of these three things, right? Most of us have seen them managing it right directly into the ground. Let us take Oh, Lord, I'm going to get in trouble for this one. Okay, so let us take some CEOs and some pastors, which is in a CEO position. Well, I said I was going to get in trouble for it. Okay, so if you've been raised in the church, you've seen a pastor take a prominent church and run it all the way into the ground. You've seen it. She's covering her face. I probably shouldn't have said that, but you've seen it. This is a podcast where we're trying to help you, so I've got to help you. But you guys have also seen, now let's take it to the corporate world, you've also seen a great employee or great assistant manager that's working like a lower level manager get promoted because they're the best at what they do. And the moment they got promoted, they were a terrible boss. Right? Have you seen this before? Mm-hmm. You'll say that. They can't hear you.
Yes,
okay. So you guys seen this before. And here's the deal. Because they simply managed the system that they were doing well. So the deal is, once you put them in a leadership position to take it to another level, they couldn't do that because they weren't leaders. They were great managers. Mm-hmm. So every leader is not a leader simply because some of you all are just managers. And that's okay. No, there's nothing wrong with being a manager. You can't be a manager in a management position. There needs to be people who manage what a leader has thought of. Right? I just ended a sentence with a preposition, so sorry about that. But there needs to be managers who manage the things in which a leader has thought. There it is. Not ending it with a preposition. Okay, there it is. Okay. Right? So we like to have fun, guys. And we're live, so sometimes I say some silly stuff. But yes, yeah, so you need to have those things and those people. Managers are great. Young folks say don't sleep on a manager, but don't
diminish.
Yes, absolutely. Don't diminish a manager for being a manager. Mm-hmm. And please, on the flip side of that, don't try to put a leader into a position, but you only want him to manage what you want him to do. Him or her, right? So you could put a leader, a natural born leader who wants to lead and make some changes and take it to another level. But what happens is, and it often happens in the church, where, hold on, we don't do it like this, right? Is that what you say?
Yeah.
This is how we've done it for all these years. So you're not looking for a leader. You're looking for a manager, right? So here's a problem with that, and I hope you leaders are listening to this, because I'm about to say something very real. In fact, I'll slow down and pause. If you micromanage a self, so look at I got it. Was that an amen or something? If you micromanage a leader, if you force a leader to be a manager, you will demotivate that leader, and that leader will go somewhere in which they can lead. Did you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, do I micromanage you?
No.
Outstanding.
Praise the Lord.
So hopefully that answers your question. There's a lot of meat in that. We could probably take three weeks just to talk about manager and leader.
We will.
What you got next?
Okay, so back to the team.
Okay, you had your own question. That's right.
Earlier you said that a problem with a team or something like that, maybe phrasing it wrong. Problem with a team is that there are individuals on the team and they don't feel like they're a part of the team. So I know most people think of sports when they hear the word team, so I'll go a sports route. I'm not a football fan, I'm a basketball fan.
Okay. So, what's your favorite basketball team?
Oklahoma City Thunder is my favorite.
They're in the playoffs.
But I am a Houston Rockets fan till I die.
Are you from Houston?
I am from Houston.
Okay, there it is, guys. She's from Houston. She's a Houston Rockets fan. So don't throw stones at her.
So, in basketball.
Okay.
I say you can't have a Michael Jordan without Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman.
That's right.
Or Phil Jackson, for that matter.
Without a Michael Jordan.
So, how important is, or how do you get individuals to feel like they are a part of a team? Let me interject, because you said something.
Go ahead.
In my experience, I've been on teams where a leader was chosen, I guess, or a natural born leader said, I'm the leader of this pack. Not the leader, but a leader amongst this group of individuals, okay, let's say. I don't like to be micromanaged. Like you said, you don't micromanage me. So I have a problem with someone who is on the same team as me trying to micromanage what I do. That just burns me me up inside. That makes me not want to be a part of the team. I'd rather go in the corner and do my own little thing. I don't want to be a part of the team. I want to be an individual. But okay, yay team. So how do you make individuals feel like they are a part of a team? That's my first question.
Okay. Well, no. You had a whole bunch of questions in that one. And that was your minor question. You're helping somebody right now, let me tell you. Wow. Okay. Let us start from the beginning. Okay. First off, she's a Houston Rockets fan. I must admit, I'm not a Rockets fan.
Shame on you.
I'm an Indiana Pacers fan since Reggie Miller back in 1996.
If you're listening to this in a different year, this is 2014, the Pacers are killing in these playoffs right now.
Okay, well that's awesome.
I'll just say that.
That's awesome. So, okay.
Plug your team.
But I appreciate the plug. I appreciate the plug. Go Paul George. Okay, so let's get back to the issue at hand. So it sounded like you were talking about the lead. In fact, we're going to just tackle this question. We're going to end this podcast, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Then we're going to do a part two. How about that? Because this is too long, and yeah, you've totally opened up a can of worms. Okay. So here we go. Let's tackle the many questions inside so many landmines. Were you talking about the leader who's not the leader? Mm-hmm. But the leader among the team that says, I'm the leader.
The leader among the team. All right, just emerges out the blue.
So I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to tackle both of them.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's start with the top first. Mm-hmm. That's the leader's fault, okay? There's no way around that. That is the top leader, whoever that leader is, whether it be the CEO.
The leader.
Capital. So we're going to say small L, we're going to say capital L. Okay? So when I say capital L, I'm talking about the CEO or that upper level boss, you know. So just depend on your organization. Please take this and take it to your own organizational structure. Some of you guys will never meet your CEO. You probably don't even live in the same state with you. Mm-hmm. But you know which one I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. The capital L leader in your organization mm-hmm. has the power to stop that. It's always our fault. It is. It's always our fault. If there's ever a communication shift, change, error, breakdown, it's the leader's fault. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's not my fault. It doesn't matter if it's not our fault. It is our fault. Because whenever the communication breaks down, we have to assume, or we should be leader enough to assume, that we didn't communicate properly. Not that you didn't hear me properly, right? That I didn't communicate properly. Mm-hmm. So that's the leader's fault. The leader should be in tune enough with his people. His or her people, okay? Leader should be in tune enough with their people to know that their people are struggling with something that they don't like. That's a perfect word. It doesn't always happen that way. But the leader should create a culture to where someone can bring that to him without people getting thrown under the bus or, you know, anything like that. Or, if that can't work in your organization, a leader should establish some sort of lower level policy to where that can be hashed out at the lowest level when the leader, the capital L leader, never even knows about the problem because it's been squashed, right? So, how do you handle this? There's a couple ways to handle this. You can actually give your leaders a break. Yeah, your little L leaders, right? Right? Because she smiled because I never give her a break, right? Okay, which I really don't ever give her a break, right? So okay. you can create a culture where you guys go bowling once a month or out for drinks. You know, depending on your culture, you know. So that's up to you. But you guys drink responsibly if you're gonna do that. But you know, out to your culture, or anything like that. Make a fun day, make a movie day or something to where people can actually. It's like you brought up basketball. There are not many teams. In fact, I'm going to say no teams, but let's just say there are not many teams that are winning NBA championship without off-the-court chemistry. Is that fair?
That's very.
All right, then. So if that applies to basketball, why doesn't it apply to the corporate world or mm-hmm. the church world? So that's capital L leader. Our fault. We need to fix it, create a different culture to where that kind of behavior is not conducive to that culture. Mm-hmm. Another way you can work, well, okay, I got a resounding, mm-hmm, that's good. Another way you can do that is watch who you hire, okay? Like, if you hire well, a lot of these things won't happen as often, okay? All right. So if you have a cutthroat culture of competition in your organization, you've either created that because that's who you are, right?
The company takes on
the personality of its, that's right, of its leader, capital L leader, right? So you create that because that's who you are, or you've allowed that in your lack of leadership. Ah, yeah, painful, I know. Now, let's get to these little L leaders, all right? This is going to hurt your feelings, I'm sorry, but if you can't stand that, you have a major problem, and you need to fix your ego. That's the truth. Now, that's across the board, though. If there's six leaders, all six leaders need to check their ego. Remember that the mission comes first. Now, but you can't get the mission without, if there is a number two, which there is a number two, it needs to be almost directly under number one, like, not like 1-2, like 1 and 1.19, right? You know, I mean, just way up there, you know, yeah, just way up there, and that's subordinates. Your subordinates should always be taken care of, okay? Now, if you're on the same level, you don't have subordinates, your coworkers should always be taken care of. So, what you guys need to do is, for one, you need to check your ego. Your ego needs to be checked at the door. If I was preaching, I would say crucify your ego before your ego crucifies you. But I'm not preaching. This is a corporate podcast. But, however, you need to check your ego at the door. You can't work as a team if you have an ego. Now, do you have an ego? You certainly do. Some of you guys' ego is so big that you're proud of how humble you are. That makes no sense at all. How can you be proud of being humble, right? And it's an oxymoron, a paradox in itself. We all have egos. And when we realize that we all have egos, then we can check it. Including myself. I said it three times. Including myself, there's a fourth. We all have egos. And in order for us to properly work together, then we need to check our egos. Here's why. So if someone does step up and they do become that natural leader, or they want to be that leader, right? Because some people's confident. Oh, okay, that's, she must be talking about somebody specifically. We might have a meeting after this. Okay, right? So, but that's good. You're helping somebody. If they are that natural leader, and if their leadership is loud, okay, that's more of what you're talking about. That I'm going to take charge is loud and not quiet. That can be a little irritating. Here's the deal. You ask, what's the mission here? Right? Whatever, now think of, what's the mission? Is the mission more important than my disdain, my dislike for this loudness of this little L leader? Right? All right, come on. I see you smiling with your little dimples, right? If the mission is more important than the ego of this little L person, let's let it go. There's a time. Now I'm not saying let it go forever. Don't be a doormat. That's not humbleness. Being a doormat is being humble, but sometimes a part of being humble is being a doormat. There's a time and place to choose when to pull someone to the side. You know, there's a time and place to correct, but don't get to the point where you spend more time correcting people than motivating people, because you'll find out if you earn people's respect, they wouldn't do that, right? If you And that doesn't mean like eating cheese, or that's a slang way of saying that. Kissing up is a better way to say that, right? You know, I'm not saying that you need to take the one knee approach, right, and kiss up. But what I am saying is, though, that check your ego and just quietly be confident, and you'll find out that some of that stuff stops. Not by chance it doesn't stop. Don't be afraid to pull someone to the side. Be respectable. Tone is everything.
Oh my God. Tone
is everything. Yes, it is. Tempest loves this
everything podcast.
This is an exciting episode for Tempest. She loves it. We're going to do it part two. So in fact, we'll end right here. Tone, if you're going to pull someone, let me completely answer the question. Tone is everything. If you're going to pull them to the side, watch your tone. Because a lot of times, people don't even realize they're doing it. Or they feel insecure because they think you're being favored more than what they're being favored. So they feel like they have to do twice as much as you in order to be seen. And You'll find out if that's really the case, you actually felt bad for having a problem in the first place, and you guys will connect on that pain. So it really is that you little L leaders, the best for me, the greatest leader to ever exist is the first follower. That's to me. Okay? Think about it. You're my executive assistant over 5 different companies or something like that, right? Okay, so 5 different companies. You weren't one of the first people to follow, but you're definitely one of the first people to follow me the loudest. Is that fair? Okay, great. I would just be a lunatic with an idea, walking the streets, screaming, come follow me, come follow me. And no one's following me, right? I don't have validation as a businessman. I don't have validation as an entrepreneur, validation as a young retired person, validation as a pastor, validation as someone on the radio and all the other stuff, right? Mm-hmm. If I don't have any followers. If I don't have someone to follow me, then there's no validation at all. I can't even be pulling off this podcast, right? The deal is, I can't get those thousands of followers, in our case, millions of followers, you know, thank God for that, if I didn't have my first follower. It's my first follower that made people go, wow, well, maybe he is. Wow, she's following him, right? Wow, he's following him. And it's on the validation of that first follower that I've gotten the millions of followers. So for me, the greatest follower there is the first follower. And I said that to bring it back home to this with the little L leaders. The most powerful form of leadership is the leader who's not afraid to follow, even in a group of equilateral leaders. If you learn how to follow, drop your ego, you will definitely be leading, because people would notice when you should have been upset about something. You kept your cool and held everybody together. And that, my friend, is the best leader that can ever exist. No company, no organization, maybe we'll touch this next week, could ever be successful without a number two that's comfortable with being number two. That's probably the realest thing I've said in this entire podcast. No number one, no Fortune 500 business, no successful church, no small mom and pop business is successful without a number two that is comfortable with being number two. Let's wrap this up.
Okay, well, I'm told we're ending this because we're doing a part two, so we will stop right here. Make sure you tune in back next week for part two of, I guess we're talking about how to be a team player.
Oh, yes. You were very passionate about this one.
Well, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you guys, and we'll see you next week for part two.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you learned something. And as always, keep smiling. It looks good on your face.
Wherever you are in life, whether you're a millionaire or you're just starting out, whether you believe in yourself or not, whether you have self-assurance or low self-esteem, whether you cry yourself to sleep at night or you're on top of the world, we want to help you become a better you, because we believe that God has something greater in store just for you. Whether you're a church member or not, corporate world or not, we want to see you succeed in life. Tune into us next week as we continue helping you be a better you.